On the line from Albany, New York, we have Brandon Mowry. And Brandon, we've been you're a celebrity here at least, and probably a lot of other places. We've been talking about you off and on for the last couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks by now.
Well, thank you.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Now, we caught you on your night off over at Fox. Brandon
right.
is the videographer. I love that term. In other words, a news photographer, right?
Yeah, it's a lot better than cameraman.
Yeah. And it all started, what happened? You went out to the airport to take a picture of a plane taking off or something? And what
yeah, happened? It was October 20th. They had assigned me to get a weather shot, and that's a shot we kind of tease the weather with,
mm-hmm.
the forecast, you know, the break before. So I went out to go shoot a plane taking off at the end of a runway at Albany International Airport, and the last plane that I filmed about four or five of them, the last one I had filmed was coming directly over me, and once the plane got, you know, perpendicular from me in the ground, I had to adjust my camera 180 degrees to catch it flying away. And it was during that adjustment that I wasn't looking in the viewfinders when this thing flew by.
Now, you didn't notice this till you got back to the station, or when did you first notice it? It looked like a missile.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I didn't notice it when I was there. I wasn't looking in the viewfinder, mm-hmm. and then I drove back to the station and threw it in the edit machine, and I was kind of checking the stillness of the shots and playing it back in real time, and that's when I saw this. It's like a black streak. So I was wondering, well, you know, what was that? So I rewound it and paused it, and there that thing was.
And you haven't really decided what you think it is yet, or have you? Have you reached an opinion yourself? I mean, you don't have to tell me if you don't want to, other than you can say, yes, I have or I haven't.
Well, I think it's either, it's got to be one of two things. Whether it's a secret military craft or, you know, I mean, a lot of people say when they first saw it, it looks like a missile, which is pretty scary over a commercial airport. But if it's something that, you know, a military craft or whatever, you know, I've heard, people have told me about the SR-17 Blackbird and the B-2 bomber. You know, that technology was around 20 years before the general public knew about it. So maybe this is something, you know, that we just don't know about yet. Or if it's, you know, I believe in extraterrestrial intelligent life elsewhere in the universe. And if this is a sign of that, then great. And if the government knows something about this that they're not telling us, maybe they should let us know now, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear you say that latter part, because that's where we've looked at it. And at first we examined the idea that maybe it was a missile, but it never came down, you know?
And I mean, it's gigantic. I mean, if you look at the plane that in the shot is about, probably, it just took off, so it's probably, you know, a good 300 feet in the air. That's about it. And this thing, I mean, there's a cloud in the upper left-hand corner, and this thing flies behind that cloud. The cloud ceiling that day was at 5,000 feet. We checked at the airport. And, I mean, this thing is almost as long as that plane is, you know. So it's got to be hundreds of feet in length when it's that far away. It looks that big. And it's only in the shot for 7 frames. And we shoot, with those cameras, we shoot 30 frames a second.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing is flying very, very fast. I wouldn't think it would be a missile.
Going really, really fast. And like you say, it could be our own technology. I'm inclined to believe the latter, though, because it seems like it's way out there, you know, like some kind of mothership or something, some gigantic deal.
Or some kind of probe, you know, maybe mm-hmm. some kind of extraterrestrial probe, just kind of gathering information. I mean, I don't know. It could. I mean, you know, you could go on and on about what people think it is, but yeah, I would lean more towards that. Because,
how about at the station? I know you guys contacted the police, and the FBI showed up a couple of times.
Yeah, that's another part of the story. Right when I brought it back and I just discovered this thing on my tape, I started showing everybody that was around me. And, I mean, everybody's mouths just dropped wide open, you know, when they first saw it. And then I got sent out on a shoot immediately after I got back. I was only back for about 5 minutes. I had to go shoot an accident. I was gone for a half an hour. When I came back, our assignment editor had called the police to come take a look at it. So there's police cars in the parking lot when I drove back. And
you figured out what that was about already, I bet, before you got in there.
Yeah. We had already made like 4 or 5 copies, you know, just in case something like this would happen. So
sure.
they came in, and they were looking at the tape, and they called their captain. The captain came in on his day off. It was a Sunday. He took one look at it and called the FBI. The FBI was at the station within an hour.
Now, the FBI, I read in some news report, and you can verify whether this is true or not, they actually questioned you quite a lot about camera techniques and things. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they sent me out to the airport to meet three other FBI agents who I was supposed to show them, you know, where I was standing, exactly where this thing came from, and, you know, did I hear anything out of the ordinary. And then when I was out there by myself, they said, well, we're going to need the tape now. And I had the tape on me, and I was like, well, I'd like to keep it. It's the original copy. And they go, well, I'm sorry, you cannot keep the tape. This is evidence. We're going to have to take it from you. So, you know, I didn't put up much of a fuss, but, I mean, it was forcibly taken from me, you know. Mm-hmm. There was no punches thrown or anything, but, you know, I would have rather liked to have it, but they said, no, they got to keep it.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, they called me up, said they had to ask me a few more questions, took me into a little room and interrogated me for about an hour, and then they said, well, we'd like you to take a lie detector test. And I didn't have anything to hide. I said, let's go, you know, let's do it. They drove me to another place, the New York State Police Department, and I was hooked up to a polygraph for 3 hours. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
What type of questions were they insinuating that you had done this yourself, trickery? Or?
Yeah, I mean, well, they asked me, like, the first question was, do you live in the United States? The last question was, do you live in Canada? And all the questions in between were stuff like, you know, have you ever lied to the FBI? Did you doctor this tape? Did you receive $500 from a so-and-so person who wanted revenge on Fox? And they gave a specific name of somebody who wanted revenge on Fox and had apparently done this before. And I checked back at work if anybody by that name ever worked there, and they haven't. So that was a made-up question right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it was just the way they did it. They just kept pushing me, and they kept, you know, you should let us know if you're not telling us the truth right now. You're wasting everybody's time. And, you know, I wasn't lying, so I went through everything. And then when I got done with the lie detector test, he pulled a chair up right in front of me, looked me right in the eye, and told me that I didn't do too well. And I said, well, what do you mean I didn't do too well? He's like, well, you failed. You're lying to us. There's something you're not telling us. There's just too many coincidences here, Brandon. You know, something just doesn't add up. And I just couldn't believe it. I was like, well, I'm not lying. They're like, well, what's going to happen when that tape comes back from the FBI in Washington and it says you doctored it? You're going to lose your job. You were on a radio show this morning. Everybody's going to be on the front page of the paper. They're going to think you're insane, you know. You're going to have to move back to Nebraska. And I was like, what? You know, I just couldn't believe it. He kept pushing me and pushing me, trying to get me to admit something I didn't do, until to the point where he drove me to tears. And it was on the top of the list of one of the worst experiences of my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And once he drove me to tears, and I was just pleading with him, you know, saying, hey, I did not do anything. You know, I don't have anything to admit here. He left me in the room by myself for 15 minutes. And all I was wondering, I was just like, what is going on in my head? You know, I just kept saying it out loud. And he came back 15 minutes later, and he says, you're still here? And I just looked at him, and he goes, well, I have a big apology, Brandon, to make. I re-examined the polygraph test, and it turns out you were telling the truth, and I cannot say sorry enough.
Hmm. Well, yeah. Let's talk about the reaction around Albany. I looked at your chat room at the station there, at the Fox TV station, and it seems that you have a one little department set aside for UFO sightings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was strange because...
the station.
Right, yeah. I mean, we had... This was our top story the next 2 days after I filmed this, and then we just dropped it. We didn't say anything about it. And we got so many emails from people, you know, wanting to know, you know, what's the new information about this. You know, we want to know what's going on, what the FBI said. And it was really strange to me that we just dropped it for about a week, and then we got so many emails that we put it back on our site, and I guess we opened up a chat room, too. I noticed that, too.
Yeah, now the interesting thing about all of this, when guys come up with UFO sightings, I have been doing talk shows for a long, long time, probably older than you are alive. The problem is that when you do a UFO sighting, you get cross-examined like this, and people are really reluctant to talk about it. How about the station? How are they treating you?
I've done a number of radio shows. I've been on the early show on CBS and Fox News Channel, and I mean they're behind me and everything. And they even gave me the number of their lawyer just in case the FBI calls me again, because I told them what a horrible experience I had with the FBI. So they gave me the Fox 23 lawyer's number, and I'm supposed to let the FBI know, you know, if they ever try to get in contact with me again, that they're going to have to go through him.
Have you ever seen a UFO yourself?
this is very strange.
Yes.
And I even told the FBI this, too. I mean, to somebody who's not me, I mean, it would hurt my credibility, but I set them down, and I said, you know what, I'm not even going to leave anything out here. About 3 years ago, I'm from Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
and I was driving across Nebraska in the middle of the night on the way to see my sister graduate with a friend, and my friend had noticed a light off in the distance in the horizon, and I just passed it off as a tower light or something, but it stayed in the same position for about 10 miles while all the other lights below it, the farm lights and the house lights, mm-hmm. were moving. And then all of a sudden it just turned around and shot off a streak of light over the horizon. And me and him had both noticed that. He doesn't believe in UFOs, and I did, and he's the one who noticed it. And that was very strange to me. I didn't tell a lot of people about that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't report it or anything.
Where in Nebraska was this? I-70 or someplace?
I actually was just off of I-80.
Okay,
In the panhandle of Nebraska.
Get my geography screwed up here. I used to have a comedy club in Lincoln, Nebraska, so I'm somewhat familiar with the whole thing there.
Anyway, that was 3 years ago, and then I told my grandma about it that night because I was going to her house. And what's really strange is that about 2 months ago, she sent me a necklace in the mail that she got from a magazine where you can inscribe anything you want on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dog tag that says Brandon Mowry, UFO Spotter. and she sent that to me 2 months ago.
She's psychic.
And then I had it on when this actually happened, which is, I mean, to some people that may hurt my credibility, and people are, oh, this guy's nuts or whatever, but I mean, that's really what happened, and it's very strange.
Well, you're in the news business, and you're telling it like it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to leave anything out. That's exactly what happened. I had that on. I had that necklace on. I still have it on today. And I had it on when that happened. So, I mean, that's the strange part of the story.
Well, has the brouhaha died down, or do you still get calls? And
About 5 days ago, it kind of died down for a couple days, and then I thought that was the end of it. And then two more radio shows called me 2 days ago, and I did those, and then you guys called me today. So,
well, it'll probably live on for a while. Brandon, we wish you luck. Maybe this notoriety, you do good work. Who knows? Maybe you'll be headed for Fox News Channel in New York next. Who knows?
Maybe. Hopefully, maybe.
You never know what's going to happen in this business one way or the other. Finally, one final question about this. You know, I feel it was extraterrestrial or something that we don't know about, at least. I agree with you completely on that. Do you have any theory why, our sightings on UFOs, we do a show every Friday dedicated to that, and they seem to be coming in more and more and more instead of less and less and less. And do you have an idea of what's going on? I mean, what could that have been, possibly? I mean, lots of things out there.
Right. I kind of have this feeling that they reveal themselves to the people they want to reveal them to.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, that are cool with them, for lack of a better term, and you know, want to know more, and they really, you know, sincerely want to know and are interested in this stuff. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, 3 years ago I saw a UFO, my grandma sends me this necklace, and now here I'm on national television and national radio talking about, you know, this UFO that I caught on tape, you know, one in a billion chance. So, I mean, I think it's intelligence that we're dealing with here, definitely.
Brandon, if you see something else or you have a contact or something, call me.
Okay.